Hi, I'm Gary Megan, and I do a little show on Podcast One called A Plate to Call Home, and it's about fascinating people all centered around food. This is a show for foodies, but it's more than that. It's a show about the people and the stories behind food. I think you know that I'm obsessed by food. Everything in my life revolves around it, and I love nothing better than to spend a little time talking about people that are equally as passionate, sharing their stories and getting to know what makes them tick. It's called A Plate to Call Home, and it's available on the Podcast One app or on podcastone.com.au.
Don't miss a minute of Ruined Dits for breakfast on our podcast, thanks to Distinctive Homes, the biggest single-story display home in the state. distinctivehomes.com.au. 104.7 Triple M.
Oh, g'day, Roo, on this Monday morning. How are you?
Very good. It's a big week coming up in the world of Adelaide football. Whiz.
There's a grand final up for grabs.
Yeah, and there's a hamstring that's been tweaked already. So not quite going to plan for the Crows, but gives another opportunity for someone else to step in, doesn't it?
Yeah. Hey, Roo, you were spotted up the river on the weekend.
Yes, beautiful weather. Got up there the weekend off, first weekend off for a while. So went up there with the family, packed the trailer, and off
good
we went.
Was yesterday? Gee, we set out to, went up the street in Harndorf and just had a little wine outside. It was magnificent.
Beautiful.
Around, you know, late afternoon, not a breath of wind, beautiful sunshine. Gee, it was good.
Sign of things to come. So a beautiful weekend, but looking forward to getting stuck into this week. We're going to have Andrew Fagan on later on, Dits, to tell us about the tickets that go on sale at 9 o'clock this morning. Your chance to be able to get in quickly, and the prices, they gone up for a prelim final. They're not cheap, but if you want to go along, that's what you have to pay. Mick Malloy will join us later on as well. You've got a bit of a rave you're going to unload later on too, Dits.
I'm not happy, and in fact, it's un-Australian. This same-sex marriage vote, un-Australian, and I'll tell you why later on. Okay. It's actually really annoying me, to be honest.
Beautiful. And we're going to give away Crows tickets for Friday night's game every day at 7:30.
All right. So we'll explain more.
Get your dad jokes ready. That's all we need to say.
All right. Okay. Ruined Dits here on Triple M on this Monday morning, 6:06.
Ruined Dits for breakfast, 104.7 Triple M.
6:09, Ruined Dits here on Triple M. What's making news, Roo?
Oh, Labor have had a couple of pollies pull out. Jack Snelling, the health minister, who's been responsible for the handover with the Royal Adelaide Hospital, has said he's going to pull out of politics after the next election for work-life balance reasons. Yep. And caught a few people off guard on the weekend.
I'm not going to go, Mike, into exact times and dates.
It's not
but,
that hard.
Mike, to be honest, mate, it's none of your business.
Look, you know? I've known for a considerable period and...
What do you call that?
Well, a considerable period.
Is it a storm in a teacup if someone wants to resign and they're doing it after the next election?
I think he's a pretty big MP, though, so it's probably... It's not good for Labor, that's for sure. And I've had two people pull out in a couple of days. What's the girl's name?
Yeah, mental health, Vlahos.
Yeah, Vlahos. So not good for Labor, probably good for Liberal, but they got plenty of time to get sorted. So it did sound, the way Smitho was going at him, though, it was as if something's happened, I reckon. You know, he was sort of probing to find out, well, you know, how long have you known for? And Weatherall didn't want to say for whatever reason. So I reckon they've...
Do you want to get Mike Smithson to explain that?
It might be worth a little bit of digging, I think, later on.
All right.
There could be something in that.
Because he was definitely testy there, Jack
Very
Snelling.
Testy.
And look, I understand his reasoning. I think, I mean, you've got six children, so is he. And there's no doubt that politicians do long, long days. Incredibly
Imagine
long
doing
days.
That role that he's had. The whole health sector's been, I don't know if turmoil is the right word, but it's been a lot of stuff happening there for a lot of years.
I wouldn't say the new RA was a smooth, plain sailing.
No, absolutely. But it'd just dominate your head.
Yeah.
Even when you're home at night and your kids are asking you for stuff, you'd be...
Yeah.
So he's made a brave call and good on him.
Yeah. But you're right. The way that questioning went, he was a bit uppity about it. So maybe there's something else. So I don't know. Now, we could ask Mike Smithson.
It really does annoy me, though, that he will get a pension for $245,000 for the rest of his life. I reckon it stinks, that rule. Pay them what they're worth when they're in the position.
Yeah.
And then get nothing afterwards or minimal. Mm. The fact that he gets that forever, I just don't get it. I reckon it's ridiculous. Mm. If they're that good at their job, And I think we need the best people doing those jobs. Pay them while they're in the job, but don't do a certain amount of time and then be on the gravy train for the rest of your life.
Can I just play devil's advocate here? What's the difference? Pay it now or pay it later?
Because you attract different people earlier, I reckon, if you get people in early and get the lump sum money like you do in other positions where you get the money. Pay it then, attract different people, and then get out of it. I just don't like having it. I reckon it's just sounds wrong. Sounds like it's not right that you get money for the rest of your life. You've done, what do you have to do, 12 years or 9 years or 8 years, whatever it is, and then you get a pension for the rest of your life. If you're going to be in that job, be in that job and get paid big money while you're doing it. Because what if you're in that role for 20 years like he has, he's been getting less money, but he'll get more, you know, more money for longer. I think, I just don't know why they do it that way. It sounds like a weird system to me. Absolutely
and
weird.
I guess the other thing too, Roo, you could have done the worst job in the world and you still get that money.
Exactly. Well, we probably should have been sacked, I suppose, if you, if you've been in there that long and not doing a good job.
Yeah, but sometimes you get in purely because of your party. Like, I'll tell you what, if you stand for the Labor seat in Port Adelaide and you're a Labor vote, I think you'll get in if you're a Labor candidate. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I just don't like it.
Stand for it in Elizabeth, I think you'll get in.
Doesn't sound good for people who are paying their tax that someone just gets a big lump sum for the rest of their life not doing anything.
All right. Hey, in Melbourne they're up in arms about, some people are, about, did you know the last, I think it's only the last 2 years, it might be 3 years, that Friday of the AFL Grand Final is a holiday.
Yep.
Have this public holiday. Now imagine, I guess...
Was that the current Premier's decision?
I don't know. But imagine, you know, a lot of workers out there going, you beauty, Friday off before the grand final. But a heck of a lot of places would be saying, why not capitalise on all of these people being in Melbourne?
Yep.
Should be making a fortune out
of it. Well, and people who want to go to restaurants and bits and pieces, a lot of them are shut.
So the whole joint's closed, right? Sounds a bit weird, doesn't it?
Well, they should have the Monday off like we have off, which is great. You can have a bit of a relax after a busy Saturday and Sunday or even Friday and do it that way. So hopefully, we'll see what happens with that one.
So they are asking, the people fighting against this are saying, let's shift it to Monday like everyone else.
But yep.
Yeah, the Friday does seem a little bit strange. As I said, so many people go into Melbourne for it. And the other thing, Roo, another terrorist attack over the weekend. You know, we often are a bit critical, I think, of police forces and security, you know, around the place when these things happen. I was amazed that after this, it was a bucket full of explosives on an underground train.
Yeah.
Within hours, they'd caught an 18-year-old lad at Dover. Now, Dover's where the ferries leave from. Maybe he was trying to escape to Europe. I don't know. But I thought, how brilliant. How can you possibly find a kid that's done this? As quickly as they did in Dover. So some great detective work. Let's hear from Channel 7's Hugh Whitfield.
Yesterday morning, Saturday morning, an arrest was made at Dover as a man was trying to board in his car onto a ferry to go across to continental Europe. He's an 18-year-old man. Last night here, just before midnight, a 21-year-old man was arrested at Hounslow. Now, the connection to that southwest part of London is that 18-year-old man was a foster child living with a couple, Ron and Penny Jones. They've been taking in foster children for the last couple of decades. They were said to be at their ends with this teenager, this 18-year-old, who apparently 2 weeks ago was arrested by police at Parsons Green, detained, but let go. We don't know why.
Known to police.
Yeah. Now,
276 foster kids that couple had.
Yeah.
they got an award from the Queen not long ago. So,
did you see where this terrorist attack didn't go to plan? Luckily,
bomb didn't go off properly.
No, and they actually were hoping it would go off underneath the Houses of Parliament. Imagine the mayhem that would cause.
How can an 18-year-old be so disillusioned with the world to want to do that?
No,
it's crazy.
Ruin Tits for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M. Mick Molloy joins Ruin Tits.
Guys want to be me, girls want to do me. I'm Mickey.
Oh, let's get to him now. Good morning, Mick Molloy.
Hello, boys. How are we?
Good. Now, what did you do over the weekend? Watch replays? Watch old Tiger victories? You know,
I had to go to GWS to watch GWS West Coast to see who we were playing, and I think the answer was not much chop. They'll be coming to town like a band of gypsies. It'll be family and friends versus 80,000 at the G. We'll be right. I think we'll be okay. And then we'll set ourselves up for the big one the following week. We might have to go together, Roo, if that happens.
Oh, I look forward to it, Mick. I look forward to it. Hey, Delidio, do you see him as one of the enemy now, do you?
I don't. Do you know what? He's one of those guys who left on good terms. We knew he'd been a great servant. We knew...
Good that you got picked 13 for a bloke who can hardly play.
And he, to be honest, we offed him and Vickery, and I think they played 3 games between them over the course of the season. So... Finally, something coming up, Tigers, on the trade table. So, hey, guys, I'm a bit excited today. I've got a segment I'd like to launch.
Right. The family jewels. Pants. Nuts. Plums. Gonads. Coolies. Balls. Right. This is my ding-a-ling-a-ling
testicle talk. Whoa. No, it's not testicle talk. Mm-hmm. You fired off the wrong one. It's this one. It's time for... That's right. The Report with Mick Molloy. That's it. We're talking about wangs and we're talking about men. And I've got a couple of groundbreaking stories that you need to hear, fellas.
Cool.
Now, listen to this.
Looking
now, I'm not making this up. This is research that's been done at a university level. And it says boys are better at physics because they learn about projection while going to the toilet.
Yeah.
Researchers say. So, from a young age, boys are taught about how to aim accurately. So, it's up for debate, that one.
Yeah.
So that they do not make a mess in the bathroom. And this gives them a better understanding of projectile motion.
Mm-hmm.
Playful urination practices, from seeing how high you can pee to games such as peeball. You know what peeball is? That's where men compete using their urine to destroy a ball placed in the urinal, in a urinal, may actually give boys an advantage over girls when it comes to physics.
Right.
Yeah. So I would have thought it would give us an advantage of physics. Probably give us a head start in literature as well, considering we write our own names.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I on one occasion, wrote a short novella. So obviously that prepared me for high hand-eye coordination. Yeah. I mean, you try crossing swords and keeping your hands dry. And when it comes to bubbling, that's almost circus skills, isn't it?
What about, Mick, I said to you the other day that I had a Barocca here for breakfast. It's taught me pH balance as well. So, you know, the amount of yellowness in your wee.
Is it right.
Is it clear? Is it, all sorts of chemical reactions.
Does it have a head on it? Do I need to get that down to forensics?
I need to do a good frothy. How many mils?
Why is it burning?
We had a back veranda at our joint, and we'd go out there as kids and try and reach the clothesline, and you got pretty good at your trajectory there.
That was the way it always worked. Yeah. Hey, can I tell you, this is the first time I've ever heard, it's the first occasion where I've heard the penis used to make a man smarter. As opposed to, I don't know you guys, but...
It's a long
penis
is
responsible for all the worst decisions I've ever made in my life.
Exactly.
I'm not sure it all adds up. Okay, let's go to Germany now, where a man's penis became stuck in the hole of a 2.5-kilogram gym weight.
Was he getting a bit excited in the gym?
It's like the old donut hole. He's got the 2.5-kilogram gym weight plate. He's needed the help of the fire brigade and their power tools to remove it. Welding masks on, boys.
Bit of grinding.
The man was sedated, and they shouldn't have sedated him. It's his fault.
That would have been tough to make him live through that.
Yeah.
So he can learn from his mistakes. Yeah, with angle grinders and a hydraulic rescue. Now,
the sedating wouldn't have been good, Mick. A little needle in the wang.
This is a story of woe from start to finish. You know what I feel sorry for? The firefighters. I mean, the firefighters, you know what? You know when you're a young boy and you go, what do you want to be when you grow up? A firefighter. Mm. You're thinking about, putting out houses, rescuing people, old ladies, maybe a cat in a tree.
Didn't steroid munches.
Not getting a wang out of a weight at a gym from an idiot.
No.
I didn't see that in the brochure.
No, I didn't.
This is why I'm not a gym junkie. this is why I prefer Zumba. So, anyway, why did he do it? I don't know.
Because it was question. There. Yeah. I'd like the answer to that.
Anyway,
all right.
Be careful out there, but that's the story of a guy whose penis has not made him smarter.
No, definitely not.
Now, Mick, we'll speak with you on Thursday. It'll be a couple of days before big game time.
Yes, we will. And Front Bar Thursday night, Richo on Channel 7. And don't forget the footy show, of course, on
So last week Kevin Bartlett, this week Richo. Are there any other?
No, we're going to go all the way down the line. Yeah. Where it's going to be a Richo Richmond
love fest.
There's a theme.
That's it. All right, boys.
Good on you, mate.
Well done, buddy.
Triple M.
Top of 18 today. Showers. It's already 17. It was a warm start.
Very
this
balmy.
Morning.
It's very balmy, wasn't it?
Right on the world of football, Roo. Prelim final this week. Already ticket prices are in the news. Crows fans asked to pay double for their tickets for the prelim final.
Yep.
But you were telling me that that's quite normal.
Well, that's all set by the AFL. It's nothing to do with the Adelaide Football Club. We've got Andrew Fagan coming on after 8 o'clock to give us the lowdown on everything. But they step up every week. They go from home and away series to the first week of finals. Last week, none of us had to worry about. And then this week, it steps up and then grand final gets a whole lot more expensive again. There's big money in it. But when we talk about the Super Bowl and places like that, they're $5,000 a ticket, aren't they? True. A lot of those over there. But it's expensive. It's really tough for families. We were discussing in our household last night, who are we going to take? We'll take the older two because they watch it, and we're not taking Joe because he's more interested in eating chips and talking to everyone else, so he's not going. So you got to work out who deserves a ticket and get some sort of rules in place for it. But hopefully we can sell it out to get 50-odd thousand there. At those sort of dollars is going to be a fair stretch after we've had the Adelaide show and everything on in Adelaide.
Let's get to the all-important team news. McGovern, this came out over the weekend. Hamstring problem. What do you know about it?
Yeah, well, I know they had a tough session on Saturday. They trained hard Tuesday, Thursday. Saturday they did some match simulation stuff. They played two 20-minute halves in a game and from what I hear, his hamstring is not good, and you would have to think he's in serious doubt for Friday night. So not good news on top of Brody Smith. So they've got an All-Australian defender and their X-Factor forward in doubt. So not good news, but it's what happens. So you lose a few along the way and other people have to step up, and that's when you're calling your depth and list management to be able to come in and play a role. So they had a hit out last week, the SNFL or the twos against GWS, and there was a few good players in that side that might have to train well this week and put their hand up for selection. So,
all right, is Seedsman your man to cover Brody Smith's spot?
I think, well, Seedsman, yeah, he's in anyway. He played well in that last game.
But yeah.
Rory Sloane will come back in, which he didn't play in that last game. And then you've got, blokes like Miller or Hampton. Probably not Wigg. I would suggest he's played well all year. Scotty Thompson's back there, but I think someone like Wayne Miller's name would get thrown up. We'll keep an eye on that over the next coming days to see how he pulls up, McGovern.
All right, now Josh Jenkins is into a war of words with Danger already. By the way, this is only my little 2 cents worth, but sitting on the couch the other night, the umpire that gave Dangerfield his first 3 goals should not umpire finals footy.
He didn't like him?
Soft as butter. Everyone's talking about what a great game Danger played. Bloody easy when a bloke gives you 3 goals straight up.
Yeah.
I felt sorry for Rampy. He did nothing wrong. That was disgraceful. That's a final. You've got to be a bit harder than that. Come on.
Yeah, they don't like chopping the arms and interfering with forwards. It's certainly the rules have gone in the forwards' favour. Danger was on fire. Jenkins was interviewed about just after they knocked off who did Crows beat again? GWS. Gee whiz, that's a long time. That's how long since they've played. They interviewed him and he was stirring the pot a little bit, but let's have a listen to what Jenkins said.
If he marches into town with his Geelong teammates, it'll be nothing better than beating him and reminding him that perhaps he should have stuck around with us and he could be a Brownlow medalist and a premiership player.
The Crows won a premiership, haven't they?
Yeah.
But look, people want the players to have a bit of banter. They've had a bit of banter there and now they're trying to hang him out to dry a little bit. Let's move over to your team, Dits. We haven't spoken about Port yet.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is Ken Hankley doing? You said the other day that he's going to get a massive offer. We're led to believe he either has or he knows about it or he is going to get it.
He knows about it. Let's hear from our newsbreaker, Damien Barrett.
Stuart Dew, the Sydney Swans assistant coach, had pulled out of a scheduled briefing and an interview session with the Gold Coast Suns coaching subcommittee yesterday. And the reasons that he gave, I believe, were, until the Ken Hinckley situation is resolved in one way or another, he will not be partaking in that search for a coach by the Gold Coast Suns. But you can read into that what you may. He's obviously got good connections himself with the Port Adelaide Footy Club.
Yep.
And as such, he felt, the way I've had it told to me, there was enough smoke around the entire Ken Hinckley situation for him to feel the need to take himself out of his Gold Coast Suns coaching process.
Now, Ken Hinckley apparently is going to talk out about this today. He'll make a statement. Look, I reckon it'd be the wrong time for Ken Hinckley to leave Port Adelaide because he has got, I said this last week, good young squad coming through. Charlie Dixon's improved out of sight. Paddy Ryder's playing great footy and there's all these young players around. I think Port Adelaide's next couple of years could be anything.
Yep.
However, gee, if you grab the Gold Coast right now, there's only upside there, isn't there?
And financial security. I think Warren Treadray said that he thought it was around $800,000 a year for 5 years. If it's between $600,000 and $800,000, it's a big contract. They're saying that Port would only stretch him out a couple of years and it wouldn't be on that money, I wouldn't have thought. So he's got a decision to make. He hasn't got Koshy up there, but he's got another president up there that's said a few big things up there as well. He hasn't got the media spotlight. That would be the biggest single difference, I would think. Here he's under the microscope every week. Up there, he's hardly ever under the microscope. So that would be a big change. So the fact that he hasn't come out yet and knocked it on the head, I don't think it's good news for Port Adelaide. I think if...
Yeah, there's a bit of leverage there as well, isn't there? You always do that. I mean, players do it every day. He's in a strong position now to go to Port Adelaide and say, well, you know, there's this other offer.
Yeah. Oh, if that's what you're after, if you're trying to get more money, and, you know, that's probably what most people would do. So we'll find that out in the next 24 hours, I would think.
All right, there you go. That's what's happening in the world of footy. Ruined It's on Triple M.
104.7 Triple M.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious.
Ah! Pressure point. Pressure point.
Ruined It's $1,000 pressure test.
Right. In the meantime, let's see if we can give away a grand.
Yeah, let's head to St. Angus. Good morning, Amy.
Hello. How are you?
Very well. Good, how thanks, are you Amy. Today?
Good, thank you.
What are you up to?
I'm on my way to work.
Amy. No. Come on, Amy. You've got to say what you do at work, Amy. We're very, very sorry. We are harsh here at Triple M. We don't want to waste time. And you need to come on and say, I'm off to do whatever you're going to do at work, not just on the way to work. Let's go to Mount Barker.
I feel terrible.
Yep. Oh, well, she's going to learn. Let's go to Mount Barker. Sorry, Amy. G'day, Roger.
Howdy, boys. How are you?
I hope you just heard what happened.
What are you up to today, Roger?
Yeah, I'm manhandling a hottie today, boys.
What do you mean?
What do you mean?
Well, I'm changing over a hot water service.
Oh, All right. That's the sort of goal we
need. Funny fella, Roger. All right.
How much does the average hot water service cost these days, Roger?
Depends what you get. But, I'm pretty cheap, so I'm in the hills there a bit, so if you're hot water... goes,
yeah.
Give us a ring.
Well, what would it
What's
cost?
What's a standard one for a standard house?
For a changeover, I guess, you know, anywhere from $1,500 to $4,000, depending on what you want to
try. $3,800 with Dits, and if you can come down a bit, he's got plenty. All right, you ready to go, Rog?
Yeah, why not?
All right, here's your chance to win $1,000 cash. Kick off the week. Give us 10. Types of shoes. Now, not brands, shoes like thongs, for example.
All right, thongs, sandals,
yep.
Sneakers,
yep.
High heels,
yep.
Stilettos, flats, tap, boots. What else we got? I said sandals, straps, flats. Oh, God. Well, I'm just about gone here, guys,
oh,
I think.
Oh, yeah, come Gee, out of the block.
You did really well, Rod.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Correct.
Oh, do you wear steel caps when you're changing hot water service?
We said, yeah, I do,
yeah,
actually.
Boots.
What, at footy boots?
Brogues.
Ugg boots, moccasins.
Yeah. It's easy now.
Yeah, it's easy, isn't it? Just
yeah, rub it in, Roo. Go on. Yeah,
3,900 when Ditz wants hot water.
Rue, while I got you.
Oh, hang on.
Hey, isn't Jeremy McGovern, he's restricted free agent. We should chase him now.
Oh, hang on. If you want to talk about things like that, just ring me off air, please.
Okay, yeah. Sorry, mate.
No, yeah, let's just talk about the Crows all morning, can't we?
Got you loud and clear.
Triple M presents Paul Kelly, Wednesday, 22nd of November at the Entertainment Centre. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketek, but Roger, we're going to send you off to see Paul Kelly. That'd be a good show. Oh,
beautiful.
Ruined It's for Breakfast. Speaking of footy, Roo's got all the big news about prelim final week next.
Mark Howard here. A year ago, I started the Howie Games podcast, which has given me a fantastic opportunity to chat with some of the biggest names in world sport. Now, at times, the episodes get pretty emotional, like Ricky Ponting talking about his son.
Two lots of 3 weeks at a time in intensive care where you're just not really sure what's going to happen. But, no, he got through the first one fine. And then when he got to 6 months of age, he had another pretty serious infection that we didn't know anything about, the doctors didn't know much about. And yeah, that was the scariest one because he was sort of shut down for, well, he was, I think, sedated for about 4 or 5 days at one stage with where he couldn't open his eyes. And
Yeah, I can obviously see the effect it has on you, mate, which is why it's... now you've got me upset. That's what happens when you've got young kids, mate.
Fucking deep breath and get on with it, eh?
You can listen to the Howie Games at podcast1.com.au or via the Podcast One app.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
6:47, Ruined Dits here. Thanks to Distinctive Homes. Now, Roo, we took some phone calls, going back a month or so?
Leading into the showdown. We had some tickets that were rare as hen's teeth and we thought we'd make people earn it.
Yeah, and we're talking about weird body parts, and we were just amazed at the level of the calls that we got. Mm. It exceeded our expectation. Here's a couple of the highlights.
This is quite embarrassing. None of me mates know nothing about it, but right. I've got two bum holes.
No! No! No!
Come off it, Craig. Yeah. So you've dead set got two actual holes.
I certainly have, Roo. I was a bit embarrassed about ringing up, but
so if you were to, if you were to fart, it's like twin exhausts, isn't it?
That's
something
right.
Like that. Yeah.
A few years ago, I noticed something quite defined between my cleavage, which I thought was a mole. So I went to the doctors to see about having the mole removed, and
you need stitches to check it. Second opinion, if you want.
It's not a mole; it was a third nipple. So
no.
None of my...
What?
Yes.
You've got three.
Apparently,
nipples.
It was the first time she took a bra off. Her husband went, "Hello, hello, hello."
That would be
now,
a bit confusing.
The reason we only
all
wanted
right if you had triplets, you'd be all right.
That's right. Now, we only wanted people with an extra toe or something, but, gee, we got more than we bargained for.
Well, we got more than we bargained for because we were confused because we were going to give a double away to the show. And we didn't know if that was just enough to get Craig in with two bums.
I know.
He might have needed two tickets.
The reason we're revisiting this is Friday, Mel the Button Pusher has gone for a scan and she's in foal again. She's about to have the second child.
Yep.
And, Mel, what happened when you went for your scan?
Oh, I realised why I love a bevy so much and I'm so capable of sinking so many when I'm not in foal. I've got three kidneys.
Three kidneys.
One of my kidneys is something called a duplex kidney.
What?
I've got a duo
Could
on one
Could you sell
side.
That if you're a bit short on money? If
I'm
going
to have to if we ever want to buy a house.
Right. Get your deposit. Sell a kidney.
Yeah, it's my savings plan.
Why not?
Yeah.
Good idea that. Hey, we've got four tickets to the SNFL Grand Final, which is on this Sunday. Four tickets to the SNFL Grand Final. If you can tell us about a weird body part. I don't care if you've got two bums or three nipples or three kidneys. Give us a call and let us know. 133353.
That's an old joke, by the way, the one I just said. So this bloke comes home and his wife's in bed with triplets. And he walks in and he goes, hello, hello, hello. And she says, darling, aren't you talking to me?
Oh, come on.
Sorry. Anyway, give us a ring now. That was pathetic, wasn't it? 133353.
104.7 Triple M.
Now, we're talking about weird body parts, Roo, because we did this a while ago and we got all sorts of weird and wacky bodies ringing up.
Two holes in your bums are pretty weird, isn't
That's
it?
That's weird. And now Mel the Button Pusher here, our very own, has got three kidneys.
Yeah, one of our listeners had three nipples.
Yeah.
We have got four tickets to the SNFL Grand Final and it's a promoter's dream, Port v Sturt, Adelaide Oval. This is going to be a great game on Sunday. You got footy Friday night at Adelaide Oval, footy on the screen Saturday, and then you can go to the SNFL and enjoy a great game of football. Let's go to Aberfoyle Park. G'day, Marilyn.
G'day,
G'day, how you doing?
Have you got a weird body part, have you, Marilyn?
Well, you could call me Marilyn Monroe. I've got an extra toe.
Extra toe?
What are you, with your 11 toes?
On which foot?
The left foot.
And which is the extra toe? Is it a little toe?
It is.
Yeah, right. And did Marilyn Monroe have the same thing?
It was rumoured that she did. I'm not real sure if she did or not, wow. But yeah.
So
you've never heard that.
How do you go getting your foot into a shoe? Do you have it? Is it a little bit tighter with six toes?
It is, but you know, there's orthopedic, orthodontic, whatever the word is.
Yeah. I don't think it's orthodontic. No, that'd be with your teeth. when you go and get your manicure, pedicure, do they charge you for the extra toe?
Six for the price of five. They say.
No, I get discount.
They ask you, am I doing your right foot or am I doing your left foot today? Yeah.
Good on you, Marilyn. Thanks for that. Let's go to Michael at Christie's Beach. G'day, Michael.
Hey, boys.
Hey, Michael.
It's actually not me. It's my son.
Right.
He actually could get away with five-finger discount.
Right.
When he was born with five fingers and one thumb.
So he's got six.
He had six.
Hey,
and what they?
What hand is it?
His right hand.
All right. When you say he had it, what did you have it lopped off? Did you?
Yeah, what they did probably 5-10 minutes after he was born, they tied a bit of fishing line around it because they had a cartilage and had a nail and everything. Tied it up, and about 3 weeks later, she dropped off.
Dropped off.
Oh, what?
Yeah. Yep.
Surely there's a better way of doing it than that. That's what they do with the old sheep.
That's what you do with hemorrhoids as well.
Do they, Diz?
Yeah, you do.
Do they?
Yeah. You strangle them and no blood supply, and in the end it dies and falls off.
Falls off, just like the old, that's what they do with the old rubber bands around the sheep when you're on the farm, Diz.
Yep, that's right.
That's right. Wow, this is a couple of good ones. Let's go to Paralawi. Can you beat that, Stewie?
How you going, buddy?
Good, Stewie.
I had four nipples.
Four?
Yeah, four.
Jeez, what, did you give now a little tickle every now and then, did you?
Whereabouts are the other two?
I had them removed when I was a kid, but they're directly underneath the other two. They've got scars to prove it.
You got any photos?
I can't take some.
Come on, you're a weirdo, Roo. You want photos on
me? Oh, it's a bit weird, isn't it? So what age did you get them removed?
I was about 7 or 8.
All right.
And they grew to about the size of a 5-cent piece before we realised what they were.
Wow.
Wow.
All right. Thanks, Stewie. That's hard to beat, I think.
Stewie, you're up to the footy, Stewie.
Up to the grand
four
final.
Four nipples.
Yeah.
This is getting better
every
time we do this.
We're suckers for a good nipple story, aren't we?
Oh, we love nipples. Stewie, you're off to the SNFL grand final.
You didn't pick up on that.
What was that?
I said suckers for a
nipples. Oh, did you? Yeah. Sorry, Diz. That's all right.
Am I going too fast?
Yeah, oh, you might be, actually. Mm. Hey, it's pressure test time already. Wow, this is happening quick. Give us a call, 133353, if you want to win $1,000 cash.
Ruined Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Roo, this is your segment. You go.
Well, tickets are on sale at 9 a.m, so 31 minutes away. And
you going to count down the whole lot till we get there?
39. But we thought we'd get the Adelaide Crows CEO on, Andrew Fagan, to tell us all about that and how Mitch McGovern's hamstring is as well. Good morning, Fags.
Hey, Roo, how you doing? Hey, Dits, how are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, mate. Yep.
He's up and about, Dits. Don't worry about that, Fags. He can't wait for Friday night. Just hoping the Crows get knocked out. Yeah. Aren't you, Dits?
Yeah, no, I'm not. No,
you're
no,
not?
No, not at all. Won't bother me. I won't be watching.
Fags, tell us about how the tickets can get sold at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. So 9 o'clock this morning, from 9 until 1 p.m., our club members have priority access to purchase the tickets. So certainly encourage them to either get to a Ticketek outlet, jump online, or call Ticketek directly on 13 28 49. And go from there. So look, we've had wonderful support right throughout the course of the season, and I expect that we'll have another big crowd on Friday night.
Do you think it'll be a sellout Friday night? I mean, hopefully it would be.
Yeah, look, I certainly hope that'll be the case. You know, I know a lot of people, we do call on our members to sort of put their hand in their pocket a bit through these final series, and obviously with the first final home in Adelaide Oval, then this one again, and then I guess some people hoping that if we were were good enough to get through that. Now they hope to purchase tickets to a grand final as well. But look, I expect there'll be, we got wonderful support, and I expect we'll have a really big crowd out there.
Faze, I know it'll be a dominant Adelaide crowd, and so it should be, but you want some Geelong people there to provide a bit of atmosphere. How does it work? Is there a certain allocation for them, or have they got equal opportunity this morning to buy tickets? How does that all work?
Yeah, look, the AFL provide an allocation. They obviously run all the ticketing for the finals, and they provide an allocation to both teams. And they I think when they do it, they often start off with a bit of a 50-50 sort of ballpark, but then they'll reduce it back with a bit of common sense being applied to how many tickets are likely to be purchased. And I'm sure there'll be some people travelling across the border from Geelong to be at the game. So
you'd expect quite a few,
Yeah, correct. So now they'll have access, and they'll have a few busloads I expect to come across. So there'll be some support for them, no doubt.
You comfortable with the ticket pricing? Up to $184 a ticket for Category 1 and as cheap as $55-$65 on the hill?
Yeah, look, Roo, you'd always like them to be more affordable, but I guess when you get to the point of having major events, major entertainment events and sporting events in this country, then you've got to expect that the ticket prices are going to go up. And I think the AFL, who obviously set the ticket pricing, I think they've done their best over the last few years to restrict the increases in the tickets. But look, we acknowledge that they're not inexpensive. But again, I expect that given the support that the club holds, that people will dig deep and look to be a part of hopefully what's going to be a pretty exciting night on Friday.
The board members get any tickets?
No.
I've got your two still for you, mate.
What about my six? There'll be a fight on in the lounge room. There's only a couple.
You'll become an expensive board member.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, what about Mitch McGovern? Just give us a little bit of an insight into how that all unfolded, if you could.
Yeah, well, obviously the boys had a hit out on Saturday and both training and then a bit of match simulation, and I wasn't here to see it, but understanding, he pulled up a bit sore from near the end of that, and he had some scans, I think, late yesterday afternoon. So
is he a chance
mate, I have to wait and see. Sitting with bated breath, looking to hear the results of the scans, and not sure. I was wondering why we've got 4 pints of calf's blood just sort of downstairs, ready to inject into something, but. No, look, mate, well, I said I haven't heard. We'll have to wait and see. Obviously, he's an important part of the team. But I think, as you well know, mate, if for some reason he wasn't available, it'll just be next man up, and we'll have 22 who are fit and firing, ready to go on Friday night.
Good on you, Fags. Have a good week. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, good on you guys. Appreciate it.
Andrew Fagan. Let's go straight down to the entertainment centre where there are people queuing. Channel 7's Gertie Sperling is down there right now. Gertie, what's happening down there with the tickets?
Good morning, guys. We've got about 200 people here at the Entertainment Centre queuing up for their tickets, which go on sale in just under half an hour. Now, first in line is Pat O'Flaherty. She's been here since 6:30 last night with her husband.
Joking.
Not joking. They came. They got their deck chairs. They've been set up. They set up camp early last night. They've been counting red cars to keep themselves entertained. She said she did manage to nod off a couple of times, so she's got a few Z's. She's feeling fresh. Right. She's up and about now, knowing that the tickets are just under half an hour away. She missed out on her preferred seat for the last final, so that's why she got here extra early.
Right.
She wants to be in the Western Stand, so good luck to her.
Make sure she doesn't fall asleep at 5 to 9.
I know. She's got off her deck chair. She's, been for a bit of a walk around.
Have a stretch.
A stretch, exactly.
Yeah.
But some very excited fans here this morning, and, we had a bit of knitting, other people reading the paper as they're standing in the queue.
Come on, Gertie, don't put... Ditz told you to say that, did he?
No.
They're knitting, are they?
Yeah,
they're having a chardonnay as well while they're doing it.
Well, that's it. An apricot slice, too.
Oh, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, good on you, Gertie. Well done.
Yes, so very excited fans down here hoping for to get their preferred seat.
Yeah. Thanks, Gertie. Gertie Sperling from Channel 7 doing a good job. So they're crocheting and they're having chardonnay.
Come on, get out. Get in.
Not that there's a stereotypical, crow support there at all.
Hell no. Be from North Adelaide as well.
I don't like to generalise, but they were the words of Gertie Sperling.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
7:44, Ruined Dits, thanks to Distinctive Homes. Now, Roo, I've got a letter here. This is Ben from Meadows, who's a 20-year-old bricklayer Now, good on you, Ben. And look, cut to the chase. He says he was in Port Lincoln recently with a few mates all having bevvies and they got talking as you do.
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking about schooling. And well, I'll get to the main point he's making here. And I'm all over this myself. He's saying, why don't we learn things at school like tax, insurance, mortgages, land, property, businesses, rates, all of that sort of stuff. He says, rather than, you know, finding X in algebra or mastering a research project. And it got us thinking, Roo, you and I were talking about this earlier this morning. I think he's made a real, real good point here. As I said, he's a 20-year-old bricklayer. Now, Roo, things that I think we should have learned at school, everything he just pointed out there, when you're a young lad or a young girl, you leave school, meet your first, you know, partner or get married, whatever, whatever, you know nothing about mortgages or how do I go to the bank and even ask for it or how do I get the best deal or whatever. And then I reckon it goes on to all sorts of other life things too. Like, and this will sound really basic, but I wish I was taught how to iron a shirt at school. I wish I was taught CPR. Just going off on a, you know,
yeah,
I reckon,
CPR is a good one.
I reckon
definitely.
All it should be a subject at school, not just some throwaway thing. All of us should not. I reckon you were talking. You're at the river on the weekend. What happens if a brown snake comes near one of our children and something bad happens? I wouldn't know what to do. All things that we confront in Australia. Alice the Wag just said she can't change a tyre.
Yeah.
Should we be taught all of these things at school?
I think some of them you should. I'm all definitely for more important life skills that people should know, that everyone's going to need, like your bank accounts and how, you know, how you get a mortgage at one stage or how you buy shares or how you budget, you know, the staples in life. The other thing that I'm really hot on, we've spoke about this before, Dits, like we talk about the lack of PE in school now. Now, I'm not saying they all need to do 3K time trials or anything hard like that, but kids in school, when they leave year 12, they should have a very clear understanding of how the human body works and how the health and well-being, nutrition should be absolutely crystal clear in their minds so that when they leave and they go shopping or they leave out of home, they know what they're doing to their body and they live and die by those decisions. We've got an obesity problem in Australia, which is getting worse and worse in kids and in adults. And unless that is drummed into them and they are knowledgeable about that as young teenagers, then it's only going to get worse. We should be absolutely drumming that into them now, I think.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Because it's disgusting the way we're heading at the moment.
Are these the sorts of things that should be taught in school? And have you got any other suggestions? 133353, what do you think about it? Because, yeah, Roo, you're right. We're just missing out on so many basic skills to be taught, you know, X,
Y,
and
stuff that 1 out of 10 or 1 out of 50 people are going to use. Use that for your specialist subjects that you can go to in year 10 and 11 and 12. But in year 8 and 9 or even earlier than that, make the stuff that everyone's going to need absolutely compulsory and get good at it.
Yeah. No, it's a good topic, this. 133353, what should we be teaching in our schools?
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Oh, we're taking calls on what our kids should learn at school. Let's head to Redwood Park. G'day, Matt. Are you there, Matty boy? You there, Matt?
Yeah, I'm here.
Good. What do you think we should teach our kids at school?
Well, I'm a school teacher. I'll admit it right now, so feel free to fire away.
No, we like our two school teachers. We're not having a go at the school teachers.
But, you know, the curriculum is already so chock-a-block. Thanks to political considerations, thanks to the university's demands. At what point do parents start taking responsibility for bringing up their kids?
Yeah, I think I like what you're saying there. I think there's some things they should do, like change a tyre and
good point.
Maybe iron a shirt, maybe.
Matt,
but
could I just ask you, though, if you had your choice, what are there two or three subjects that you think as a teacher are a bit of a waste of time or not really?
Well, there's no single subject that's a waste of time because every subject caters to some need somewhere.
Okay.
Some kids, you know, job path, career path. And so everything has its value and, you know, you start talking about cutting things out. I mean, we're already overloaded and it's a really tough thing.
Right. Fair enough. No, thanks for that, Matt.
Should school go for an extra 40 minutes a day?
Well,
I know you won't like that, but what if you got paid more to compensate for it?
Look, I'm teaching because I love working with kids, and you know, whatever has to happen, you know. But
You know, I just think, you know, when I was a young fella, my dad taught me about mortgages. He, you know, when I moved out, he gave me the lowdown on, hey, you know, there's rates and there's taxes and there's this and that.
Yep.
And, you know, sometimes I think, you know, parents tend to sort of go, oh, well, teachers can do it and, you know, absolve their responsibility a bit.
We should have got you on as the last call, not the first call. But anyway, thanks, Matt. Good work. And let's go to Henley Beach. G'day, Roxanne.
Hello, boys. How are you this morning?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Good eye. Now, I think things like addressing an envelope is really important. And yet, you know, my daughter, who's the same age as Alice, struggles to do things like that because she was never taught how to do it. And yes, I've taught her, but to me, letter writing at school is important. I also think another thing that we've lost along the way in this day and age of computers, touch typing. I mean, we learn how to type on an old-fashioned typewriter, but that skill is a very valuable skill, and you do it in something like community studies maybe, or and the mortgage things, commerce. They have commerce. Well, they used to. I don't know what they do anymore, but, you know.
They still do typing, like wouldn't they?
No. No.
Well, how do they learn how to do it flat out on the computer? Isn't it the exact same
thing? They fob, you know, like, no, my kids are quite fast, but two fingers, whereas I can, you know, type and watch the TV and things like that at the same time because my brain knows where the keys are.
Mm. All right. No, thanks, Roxanne. Let's go to North Adelaide. G'day, Steve.
Good morning, gentlemen. I agree with the first caller, Matt from Redwood Park, the teacher. It does seem that there's far too many things that our teachers are being asked to cater for these days in schools. I think the system does seem to be driven by a politically correct agenda with many of the things that are being handed down. And I agree there are some things, some basic life skills such as tyre changing, CPR, etc., even letter writing that the previous caller mentioned really are the responsibility of parents.
Yep.
And really teachers should be focusing on those literacy and numeracy skills that are so vital to ongoing education.
All right. Yep. Thanks, Steve. Fair enough.
Good work, Steve. Let's go to Redwood Park again. G'day, Catherine.
Good morning, fellas. How are you going?
What would you like to see in the school curriculum?
Look, I think we need to bring in some sort of budgeting tools for people in high school. So I know when I went to high school, right when I was coming towards the end, I had my first part-time job. I bought my first car. I needed to budget for car insurance, you know, and have a look at other things like, you know, money for clothes and instead of getting credit cards and stuff like that.
Mm.
We used to have home economics, so I don't see how that's any different to that.
What did your mum and dad do for you?
Well, I mean, they taught me basic budgeting, but it probably would have been a little bit more helpful when I was learning how to touch type, sew, etc.
Mm.
Perhaps, and cook, to perhaps have, you know, a little area on budgeting, basic income and outgoings.
Mm. Yep.
Yep.
I think so. I think most of us agree with that, Catherine.
Let's
for sure.
go to Hallett Cove. G'day, Chris.
Morning, fellas. The last caller touched right on it. We used to have home economics. We should still have it.
Is that gone, is it, home ec?
Mate, they've integrated it into that much other bullshit. It's unbelievable. It's all just spread out everywhere. But basic home economics, cooking, cleaning, integrate that with learning to drive. You cover the whole area of basic law and put it under life skills. Get rid of home ec, put it under life skills subject and learn how to drive.
We do lose a few kids at when they start driving, Chris, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you look at what's happening now on the roads. How many?
What about drugs and alcohol?
And no one does anything about it. I mean, even the driver's licence. The last part of your driver's licence should be a mandatory defensive driving course.
Yep.
That should be your last part of your driving lesson.
Yeah, not a bad idea. Plenty of good suggestions there.
Yeah, just not enough time to do it by the sounds of it.
Mm.
Or we're trying to achieve too many things in while they're at school, but...
Can't squeeze it all in. Hey, Roo, we're going to try and give away $1,500 right now, Money, Money Music. And then, Roo, I want to I've got a bit of a rant for you. I'm not too happy with this same-sex voting, the election, sorry. Is it an election? What do we call it?
Postal vote.
Postal vote. I'm not happy about it, and I want to tell you why.
Roo and Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
through. Great South Australian company.
Yes.
Now, build up to Friday night, prelim final.
The old roast lamb didn't taste so good last night, Dits, when the news came across the wires that Mitch McGovern was a bit sore in the hamstring. So they had a big session on Saturday because they'd had an extra long break, and they played two 20-minute halves and in a, basically an internal trial type scenario. And pulled up a bit rough in the old hammy. So not good news. That's obviously Brody Smith's already out with a knee. And if Mitch McGovern can't get up in the forward line, and he is an X factor. Yep. He's the one that can play small, play tall, take a hanger, kick a goal, chase someone down and do a good tackle. So not good news for the Crows, but it's a marathon, isn't it? Getting through to a grand final, there's usually one or two casualties. And when we won in 97, Mods and myself didn't play. So it's not, you know.
Can be done, but
it can
not,
be done,
not
but it's
ideal.
Not ideal.
No.
But Rory Sloane does come back into the side. We know that. And he got through the training. He's as good as gold. And then I'll have to just go back to, you know, whether it's Wayne Miller or whether it's Andy Otten, if they want to go for a tall, or whether it's Kirtley Hampton or someone like that, who another midfielder. But they've got some depth there, but obviously you'd like your McGovern, who can scare the hell out of the opposition defence.
Roo, a few days ago, Josh Jenkins had a bit to say about Patrick Dangerfield. Have we got? Yep, let's have a listen to this.
If he marches into town with his Geelong teammates, there'll be nothing better than beating him and reminding him that perhaps he should have stuck around with us and he could be a Brownlow medalist and a premiership player.
Now, that happened. Then twice already over the weekend, Patrick Dangerfield's been back page of the paper.
Yep.
Today they put him in as a silhouette. And I'm just wondering, you know, all of the talk about Paddy Dangerfield, is there a danger, which is a bad word to use, but is there a danger that it just gets out of control?
Well, the media, beat Geelong, this is media. This is media.
Yeah, but Josh Jenkins talks about... Yeah,
that was a week and a half ago.
You've got to beat Geelong.
Yeah, absolutely. I look, and it's already... there's this article in the paper today saying Pat, who Crows focus on themselves, not the guy who plays at the Cats. So the players aren't silly enough to fall for that trick. The media are loving having a field day with Danger coming back to town because, you know, he's in the top two hottest players in the competition at the moment. I mean, I know he got some free kicks at the start of the game against Sydney, but he was the dominant player in that game, and he's going to come to town and be the hardest man to match up on again this weekend.
Word is, he's paying for that umpire's airfare to come over this week.
Has he got another game, has
that
he?
That bloke that gave him those first three free kicks.
Yeah, so this is going to be a huge game. Tickets go on sale at 9 o'clock today. Andrew Fagan, the CEO, is coming on after 8 to give us more information about all of everything you need to know for the Crows this Friday night. In Port Adelaide news, Dits, because we'd like to keep it balanced here at Triple M.
To first.
Yep, it is. And Ken Hinckley, you said last week, late last week, I think it was Friday you came out with this one, he was going to get a massive offer from the Gold Coast for 5 years. Mm-hmm. I said he'd probably get offered around 600. Warren Treadray said it could be 800. Mm. Now, $3 to $4 million deal as opposed to a 3 year deal here at Port Adelaide for probably 1.5.
Mm-hmm.
There's rumours, or it's alleged that there's a real difference between Hinckley and Koch. And once again, it's only alleged, but that's one of the reasons.
Stuart Dew pulled out of his interview at Gold Coast.
Now, Stewie Dew did pull out of his interview that was yesterday because they got knocked out on Friday.
I believe John Barker pulled out of his interview.
So they are not happy that, there's a lot of innuendo around to say it's Hinckley's job if he wants it. They don't want to waste their time or look like they've missed out on the role.
Mm-hmm.
Ken Hinckley will speak today. If he doesn't knock it out of the park and said, I will be coaching at Port Adelaide next year, guarantee it, then Port fans, if you want Ken Hinckley to be there next year, you should be a little bit concerned. Mm. I think the fact he hasn't done it already is a bit of an indication he might be thinking about moving.
Well, as I said to you earlier, I just think it's a leverage thing too. Why rush into it if your manager, because it won't be him, his manager will go to Port and say, well, you know, Gold Coast want him. Mm. What are you going to come up with?
Yeah.
There's going to be a bit of that.
Bit of that, maybe. Bit of that.
Ruined Tits for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Now, Roo, these are just my thoughts, and obviously not the thoughts of you or anyone here at Triple M, just me. And please, and I'll ask Mel the button pusher here, weigh in at any stage if you want to ask me a question about my thoughts here or if you disagree. But it's become quite apparent to me in recent days, recent weeks, that this whole same-sex marriage postal vote is causing so much angst out there in the public and in the media. And
which a lot of people were worried about would cause.
It's actually, and there are elements of it that to me are just so un-Australian that it's unhealthy. And I want to mention Margaret Court. Now, you might remember she courted controversy, to use a word, about 6 months ago when she spoke out. In fact, let's have a listen to Margaret Court.
I believe a marriage is between a man and a woman, one man, one woman, and what God says about it. And I think it's very sad that you don't have the freedom of speech today to really defend yourself.
Now, she is an incredible Australian, Roo. Her sporting record, in some people's eyes, is only second to Don Bradman's, believe it or not. That's how revered and how brilliant she was back in the 60s and 70s. Now, I want to say that by being a great sports person doesn't mean you're a terrific person. You know, obviously, we've got many examples of people.
She's quite religious, though, isn't she?
She's now a religious minister.
She's a minister.
So she's got strong beliefs. Where this is all being un-Australian in
my
eyes...
Do all ministers think this about same-sex?
No, not at all. There are very varied opinions. And that's the great thing of it, Rui. I think there should be varied opinions. You're allowed to have an opinion. But it's becoming apparent to me that in Australia right now, if you don't vote yes for the same-sex marriage, oh, you're a shocking person. Now, why have a vote? Why have a vote if you're going to say to us, vote yes, otherwise we all disagree with you and you're horrible? And the pressure mounting against the no vote is ridiculous. Now, for what it's worth, I'm happy to say, I voted last week, I voted yes because I wanted to, and it suits me to vote yes. And you know what? And you and I have discussed it. The whole marriage, it will not affect my life one bit. But I feel for people that want to vote no, because you should be allowed to. Do you know, over the weekend, this happened yesterday, at Sydney University there was a rally held where the no vote set up some trestles and tables and they prepared food. They had a bit of a working bee, and if you came along and you had a chat...
So the ones that were against it.
They had food there for you and scones and tea and coffee and whatever. The yes vote people came over and overturned their trestles and upended all the food and everything they'd prepared.
What?
Now,
Where was this at?
Yeah, Sydney University. So I'm just saying, now Margaret Court
probably students or adults that did this?
No idea. But Margaret Court over the weekend, the reason I mention her again is that if you go back to her initial comments that we just heard, tennis players all over the world said, when we come to the Australian Open next year, we'll refuse to play on Margaret Court Arena in protest. And over the weekend, there's a little tennis club in Perth called Cottesloe Tennis Club where she was the patron. Well, they've stripped her of that title over the weekend because of her opposition to same-sex marriage. So again, I'm saying to everyone listening this morning, so we're all happy to have this vote as long as you vote yes. So my question is, why have a vote then?
Yeah, but I wonder whether the members of the that Cottesloe Tennis Club had a say in whether they wanted to get rid of her as well, or whether it was just
one or
two people on the committee that made that
call. Surely Margaret Court is allowed to have her views. In the Australian society that I live in and you live in and I grew up in, the great thing about Australia is we all have our say. If I came to your house tomorrow night, Roo, to use another term, and there were eight people there having dinner, and half of us voted Liberal and half at the table voted Labor, I'm sure you'd come, you bloody Labor vote, you Liberal wanker.
Mm.
Isn't that what the great thing about our democracy is?
Yeah.
That we all share and we all say, oh, well, you vote for the other mob, I don't care, I don't agree with you. And for all of a sudden, for some reason, this is causing war and arguments amongst us. Let me hit you with an extreme example here. Do you know in Sydney there's a swimming pool named after Ian Thorpe? So in the case of Margaret Court losing her patronage at that tennis club, should people come out and say, take Ian Thorpe's name off that swimming pool because he voted yes? Should we be saying that or not? Sounds a bit ridiculous, doesn't it?
Mm.
Similarly, it's a bit ridiculous that Margaret Court has her name taken off a tennis club because she voted no.
No, I agree with that. Sam Newman actually had a bit of a rant the other night on the Footy Show and said, you know, people who speak out now, you know, quite often, and he's one who does speak out a lot and, you know, not always right, but he says you end up getting branded either a racist or you're sexist or you're homophobic or whatever. Just because you do speak out about it. So I agree with what you're saying. There's no doubt about it. We do. Everyone's happy to jump on board when it's the popular thing, and I'm not just referring to the same-sex debate here, but the popular people speak out more and tends to be a little bit more aggressively, doesn't it, I think? And people who speak against it do get slammed a bit.
Just to make a final point too, Roo, there's another group of people out there, believe it or not, they aren't just the yes voters and the no voters. I spoke to someone yesterday and this fellow said to me, he said, look, I'm not homophobic in any way. He said, I understand homosexuality and the lesbians, they should be allowed to have their relationships. He said, but I'm just against them marrying. It's against my beliefs. So there's an, and he said, yet if I vote no, I'm called a homophobe. And he said, I'm not a homophobe, not in any way. So I'm just asking that in, I'd like to think I live in a country in this day and age in Australia where we can all have our opinion. And freedom, I don't get my food upturned because of it, or I don't get things thrown at me or yelled, abused at, abused because of it. I surely, yeah, we live in a country that's always been democratic, and you're allowed to vote yes and you're allowed to vote no, and we all get on.
Yep. No, I agree with you, Dits.
Don't miss a minute of Ruin Dits for Breakfast on our podcast. Thanks to Distinctive Homes, the biggest single story display home in the state. Distinctivehomes.com.au. 104.7 Triple M.